you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 26. We're going to be looking at verses 26 through 29. Today's Communion Sunday, and for those of you who attend our church, you know every Communion Sunday, as we prepare to take communion, we take some time, and we talk about communion, and we explain about the elements, and we go through that in a very abbreviated fashion. But from time to time, I think it's also good that we take some time out on a Sunday morning and during our message time to take a more extended time to reflect on the Scriptures and to learn from the Scriptures about this very important part of our faith, the partaking of the bread and the cup and the Lord's Supper as we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to do this morning. So in Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 26, please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." This is God's holy word. Dear Father, speak to us now through your word. Encourage us, prepare our hearts for communion this morning, and Lord, for blessed fellowship and communion with you all year long. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, there are so many aspects of the Lord's Supper that we could talk about today, but this morning I really wanted to take some time to talk about and to focus on the elements that we use in communion. Why is it that Jesus instructed us to remember him using the elements of the bread and the cup? You know, we know that the bread represents his body and the cup represents his blood, but wouldn't it have been enough simply to remember that Jesus died for us? Jesus could have done that. He could have just said, "Hey, remember that I died for you on the cross." And he might have left it right there. So what's the purpose of the elements? And why did Jesus command us to use them? And in answering that, I want us to really just take one simple phrase from the scripture that we read this morning. "This is my body. Take and eat." We're going to take that phrase, we're going to break it down into three simple words. And if you're following along in your outline this morning, you'll see the words laid out for you there. See, touch, and taste. And all three of these are essential aspects of communion. You cannot have communion without these. And when you take them together, they build on each other. And together they teach us some very important truths, not only about communion, but also what it means to be a Christian. What it means to belong to Christ. And so we're going to begin with that word, see. See. You know, Jesus was a master when it came to visual illustrations. And when you read through the Gospels, you'll see that his teachings are just chock full of vivid imagery and striking comparisons, compelling stories. Jesus didn't just talk about the kingdom of God in the abstract, but he used concrete images and everyday illustrations in order to bring the point home. So Jesus taught about the kingdom using images of farmers and fishermen, shepherds and sheep, lamps and coins, pearls and pigs. And when it came to communion, Jesus used the very simple everyday objects of bread and wine. And communion always begins with the visual, because Jesus held up the bread and the cup for the disciples to see. He held it up and he said, "See, this is my body. See, this is my blood." You know, there are so many benefits in using visual illustrations when teaching. A visual illustration helps to focus your mind. And when someone uses an object as a point of comparison, immediately it engages you. You start thinking, "Okay, well, how does this relate to that? How do these two things connect?" And so when Jesus held up the bread and said, "This is my body, see? This is my blood, see?" You know, we're supposed to look at that. We're supposed to start asking, well, in what way is the bread like Jesus' body? How is that cup? How does that cup represent Jesus' blood? The word "see" in the Bible also often relates to spiritual understanding and perception. You know, Jesus spoke about people who have eyes but do not see and ears but do not hear. And he was not talking about people who were physically blind or deaf, but he was talking about people who were cut off from spiritual things. They could see and hear just fine with their physical eyes and ears, but they were ignorant of God's truth. So we have the communion table before us this morning, and usually we keep these things draped until the time that we're ready to use them, but we'll undrape them right now. And we're using a little different type of bread than usual. I'll put that kind of up on the side. A little hard to see. It's not the full loaf that you might be able to see visually as usual. But when you look at the communion table this morning, what do you see? Do you see just a loaf of bread and a cup of, well, we use grape juice? Do you just see food and drink laid out on the table? I know when I was a kid, I probably just looked at it and said, man, that looks like a good snack. Right? Or do you see beyond the physical elements, and do you see the spiritual truths that lie behind them? Think back to that first Passover meal. You know, when the disciples sat down to eat the Passover with Jesus that night, you know, they saw the loaf of bread at the table, they saw the cup of wine, but I'm sure they didn't think anything of it. These were very common elements. There was always bread and wine at the table for the meal. But then Jesus took that loaf, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he took the cup, and he said, this is the blood, my blood of the covenant. It's poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And all of a sudden, those common elements that they probably hadn't even noticed on the table before took on a new meaning. They hadn't changed physically. The loaf of bread was still a loaf of bread. A cup of wine was still wine. But the elements were transformed in meaning. And Jesus gave his disciples a visual illustration to help them understand what was about to take place at the cross. This was the night before Jesus was crucified. Jesus knew what lay ahead. The disciples did not yet. And then by showing this to the disciples, he said, this is what's going to take place. And then by telling us to continue doing this after he died, to do this in remembrance of him, he gave all of us a visual to help us remember what Jesus did for us at the cross. You know, in just a few minutes later this morning, we're going to take communion together. I'm going to take that bread, and I'm going to lift it into the air, and I'm going to break it before your eyes. And if you're just looking with your physical eyes, all you're going to see is a loaf of bread being broken. But if you have eyes to see, as Jesus said, eyes that truly see, you're going to look beyond the bread, and you will see Jesus' body broken for you. You'll see the crown of thorns pushed down into his head. You'll remember the cruel scourging of his back, the nails that were driven through his hands and his feet, the spear that was thrust into his side. You'll see that as we break the bread. And when you look at the cup, you're not just going to see grape juice in a glass, but you will see and you will remember Jesus' blood poured out for you and for many. For our sins. It was our sins that put Jesus there. As Jesus died a very violent death on the cross, as he experienced such agonizing pain, for us at the cross, his blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So the bread and the cup are meant, first of all, to be visuals. And that's where Jesus started at the Lord's Supper. He picked them up. He said, see, this is my body. This is my blood. But communion is such a wonderful and rich experience. It goes much deeper than that. Communion is much more than just a visual experience. It is also a tactile experience. We not only see the bread and the cup, but we touch them. We hold them in our hands. You know, Jesus could have simply just broken the bread in front of his disciples and showed them the cup and left it there, but he didn't do that, did he? Next, he said, take this. Take the bread and the cup. Hold them. Feel these physical objects with your hands. And Jesus did that because touch is much more personal than sight. Let me give you an example. Many of you have Skyped before. And Skype is a wonderful invention. I mean, it's a way, if you've never done it, you can actually turn on your computer, or you can do it on your smartphone or tablet, and you can talk with someone, just like you would over the phone, but you can see them, and you can see each other as you're talking back and forth. It's a wonderful way to keep in touch with loved ones and friends over the miles. But you know what? It's still not the same as being there, is it? You can't give somebody a hug through Skype. It's just not the same thing. And in the same way, Jesus made communion more personal by incorporating touch. You don't just see the bread and the cup. It doesn't take place right here at the table, but it comes out to you, or you come up to it, depending on how we do it on any given Sunday. And you hold the bread and the cup in your hands. You feel the texture of the bread's surface. You can run your thumb along the curve of the cup's rim. These are more than just visual illustrations, but these are physical elements with physical properties. And their very physicality is meant to remind us of another very important truth, a truth that we just celebrated at Christmas. They're meant to remind us of Christ's incarnation, that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to us in a physical body. He was born into our world as a true human being with an actual body of real flesh and real blood. Listen to what the Apostle John writes at the beginning of his first letter in the New Testament, from 1 John chapter 1. He said, "That which was from the beginning," Jesus was there in the beginning, he is eternal, "that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at," there's the visual, but he goes on, he says, "and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." Now, that word fellowship there in this passage, that is the exact same word as the word communion. It's the same word that we get our word communion from. In other words, when we talk about communion, what are we really talking about? We're talking about having fellowship. Fellowship with God, with each other. And so what is John saying here? He's saying that he and his disciples saw Jesus and they touched Jesus. They touched his body both before and after the resurrection. Jesus' body was not an apparition. It was not an illusion. But Christ came in an actual physical body. He breathed real air through physical lungs, just like you and me. His heart pumped real blood through real blood vessels to carry the nutrients to the various parts of his very physical body. His nervous system communicated true physical sensations to his physical brain so that he felt real hunger, real thirst, real pain. Jesus could have just broken the bread and showed it to his disciples. He could have just pointed to the cup on the table, but he did more than that. He said, "Take it. Take and hold these elements in your hands." And so this morning, as we take and hold and touch these elements, communion becomes much more personal to us. It's not just visuals on a table down in front, but you hold the actual elements in your hands and you are reminded that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in the flesh to die in the flesh so that through him we might share real fellowship, true fellowship with God the Father and with each other. See, touch, taste. See, there's a third element, a third aspect of the communion elements that we want to look at this morning, and that is the aspect of taste. Jesus said, "This is my body, take and eat." You know what? That makes communion even more personal than just sight and touch. Once again, Jesus didn't have to do this that way. He could simply pass it out to his disciples, or we could just pass it out and we just look at them and feel them and get that more personal experience. We don't not only see them, we not only hold them, but we eat the bread, we drink from the cup. And this aspect of communion brings out the importance of personal appropriation. You see, during communion, everyone sees the bread and the cup on the table, but not everyone takes and eats. And this teaches us, it tells us, it's not enough simply to know that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. It is not enough to know that Jesus died on the cross. But one of the lessons of communion is that you yourself must receive Jesus Christ into your life. You must receive him as your Savior. Jesus said this in John chapter 6. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus was not talking about physically eating his body and drinking his blood, but he was talking about receiving him into your life in the most personal means. Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven to give life to the world. Bread doesn't do anybody any good as long as it's just sitting on the table. You've got to eat it. You have to take it into yourself, into your life. And bread gives life to others by giving of itself. Jesus is the bread of life who gave himself for us so that we might live through him. When you eat the bread and when you drink the cup in communion, you are reminded every time that as a believer, you are united with Christ at the very deepest level. You hold the elements representing Christ's death for you in your hands, and you take them into your body. You know what the saying goes, right? You are what you eat, right? You know, and the bread and the juice, they enter your body, and as with all food, they become part of you. They now become part of your body, part of who you are. And in the same way, when you see with spiritual eyes and when you eat and drink with the spiritual understanding of the meaning, when you've received Christ into your life, when you put your faith in Christ, you are united with him. He becomes a part of your life. You're united with Christ in his death. And the Bible says this in Romans 6:5, that if we have been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And so when you eat of the bread and you drink of the cup, it is a reminder of your union with Christ. You are united with him in his death, and you will be united with him in his resurrection. See, taste goes even deeper than seeing and touching. But then, because communion is a corporate meal, it goes even deeper than that. Because as a church, we all eat together, don't we? We all eat from the same loaf. We drink from the same cup. And listen to what the Bible says about this in 1 Corinthians 10. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. And once again, the word participation in these verses is the same word as the word for fellowship and communion in the verses that we looked at earlier. And so communion is not only a deep symbol of our own personal fellowship with Christ, our unity with him, but it is also a symbol of our fellowship with each other. We share in Christ together. Together we are the body of Christ. We are joined together in fellowship with God through Jesus Christ, the Son. You know, in the Bible, that word taste is often used to speak of personal experience. Psalm 34:8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." It's talking about personally experiencing God's goodness. It is an invitation to taste and experience God's goodness for yourself. And so this morning, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you have never done that, let me invite you today to confess your sins to God, to trust Christ and his death for you on the cross, to receive him as your Savior. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and he is so good. I would not have wanted to go through 2015 without him. I would not want to go through 2016 without him. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then join with other believers this morning around the communion table as we share the bread and the cup together. Back in the 1500s, around the time of the Reformation, the church at that time put together a teaching manual. It's called the Heidelberg Catechism. And as with all catechisms, it's set up in a question and answer format. There's a question, which is then followed by answers based on Scripture. And question 75 in the Catechism really brings together the things that we've been talking about in a special way. Question 75 simply asks this: how does the Lord's Supper remind you and assure you that you share in Christ's one sacrifice on the cross and in all his gifts? There's that unity with Christ, being united with Christ, sharing in Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And I love the answer. It says, in this way, this is how the Lord's Supper reminds you and assures you. Christ has commanded me and all believers to eat this broken bread and to drink this cup. And with this command, he gave this promise. First, as surely as I see with my eyes the bread of the Lord broken for me and the cup given to me, so surely his body was offered and broken for me and his blood poured out for me on the cross. And then second, surely as I receive from the hand of the one who serves and taste with my mouth the bread and cup of the Lord, given me as sure signs of Christ's body and blood, so surely he nourishes and refreshes my soul for eternal life with his crucified body and poured out blood. Jesus said, this is my body. Take and eat. See, touch, and taste. As we go to communion this morning, see what God has done for you. Take hold of the salvation that God offers you through Christ. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, we are so thankful for this special meal that you've given us, a special way to remember you, a special way to take hold of the gifts that you've given us in Christ. Lord, prepare our hearts now as we prepare to share the special time of fellowship with you and with each other. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.